So, you know, continuing the conversation regarding provider agreements and changes of ownership here, something I learned relatively recently, and I think if there's one takeaway from what I'm going to be discussing today, that I'd like to impress upon each of you, if you're you know, ever in a situation representing a buyer, or sorry, a debtor selling a healthcare facility, if you get a significant amount of your revenue from Medicaid billings and you submit a change of ownership application to effectuate a sale, your current Medicaid billings are likely going to be put on an immediate vendor hold. So what that means is your income stream is going to be interrupted until the various holds that are implemented upon submission of the change of ownership application. And it can be really complicated, particularly if you're talking about a nursing home. There's several categories of vendor holds that have to be cleared by the provider before those holds will be lifted and before those claims can be processed. And, you know, that's important if you're thinking about those income streams, those receivables to, for example, you know, fund a plan or take out a secured lender, because there is going to be some lag time before those holds can be cleared through, you know, submissions of cost reports and that kind of thing.
So the as far as we could tell, one of the biggest, I guess you could call it, outstanding issues in litigation in healthcare business bankruptcies, one of which there appears to be a circuit split, would be that of Medicare payment recoupment. So, for instance, recently the bankruptcy court in Delaware in the True Health bankruptcy case, TSG Holdings LLC, was asked by the debtor through an adversary proceeding to hold CMS, HHS, in contempt of the automatic stay for having started recouping amounts that were allegedly owed pre-petition based on pre-petition facts. There's certain alleged billing errors and fraud potentially. And the debtor said that they should not be allowed to do that based on those facts without first getting relief from the automatic stay. So they wanted to treat it not as a recoupment. And then it's a very interesting opinion, but the bankruptcy court agreed with the debtor that these recoupments should not have happened under this particular fact pattern, focusing on the fact that there was no alleged post-petition misconduct. But then the interesting part is what the bankruptcy court did was distinguish between cases that held that there is no due process right to payment by healthcare businesses of these funds from Medicare. In non-bankruptcy cases, primarily where the court said there's no due process right to payment, so it's not a matter here for the court to adjudicate, if you will. You got to go through the administrative process. And said, even though that may be the case, that's different from having rights in bankruptcy, being an asset under 541. So it basically said it may not be a due process right to payment, but it's still an asset of the estate. The government can't do anything about that under that circuit's interpretation, the Third Circuit's interpretation, without getting relief from the automatic stay. The practical upshot of that was that it would free up some funds for the debtor, keep the cash flowing, and allow them to essentially fund the efforts to sell in this instance, which the debtor ultimately did. And when the debtor sold, it moved to dismiss the government's appeal of the bankruptcy court's ruling. And then that appeal itself ultimately ended up getting dismissed, essentially without the deal, the opinion being fully dealt with and developed on appeal. But it does appear to follow with what the Third Circuit's rulings have done with the issue of Medicare payment recoupment and how the automatic stay is implicated in that. But the reason that that's very interesting is because it it seems likely that the majority of other circuits would not take that view and say, no, government recoupment of Medicare claims based on pre-petition activity, since there's no due process right to payment, that's going to be something that's not implicated by the automatic stay. So the debtor is not going to be able to get relief from the bankruptcy court. The debtor is basically going to have to go through the administrative appeal process with Medicare program. And so as far as we could tell, the Fifth Circuit has not directly ruled on that. Although, as you'll see here, it does have a ruling, the personal care products case. There was a non-bankruptcy case where it addressed the due process right to payment issue and said there is no due process right to payment. But it seems quite possible, if not likely, that would be the view that those circuits would take, would be that the bankruptcy court basically can't do anything about that. The automatic stay does not come into play on those issues. And the reason that would be a big one for debtors is because if the automatic stay doesn't apply, it can be a long and laborious process to go through the administrative appeal process and any appeals after that that would be necessitated if the government makes an initial ruling against the debtor. And as most Chapter 11 bankruptcies are built around speed, that can be a big problem for a Chapter 11 debtor. Casey?
Yeah, no, I don't have much to add to that other than just to, I guess, emphasize that the THG Holdings case and the Third Circuit University Medical Center case is the minority view. And the majority view is that Medicare and Medicaid recoupments can occur without violating the automatic stay. They can occur. You can offset pre-petition and post-petition. You can recoup pre-petition and post-petition without violating the automatic stay.